This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Michelle Eloy. Here in the U.S., nearly 20% of kids ages 2 to 19 are considered obese, a number that has been ticking up and up for decades now. Childhood obesity is a serious national health concern. It puts kids at risk for developing health conditions like high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and breathing problems like asthma. And it's why the American Academy of Pediatrics last month updated its treatment guidelines to recommend earlier and more aggressive interventions for kids who are overweight, including weight loss drugs and even bariatric surgery for kids who are severely overweight. It's those recommendations that have prompted serious debate about how intense is too intense and whether kids and their families are ready for the kinds of lifelong commitments that come with those treatments. For more on what the guidelines mean for kids and parents, we've invited Dr. Dennis Stein. He's the Yochidei Chair of Pediatric Endocrinology and Professor of Pediatrics at UC Davis. Welcome to Press Play.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
Well, how big of a shift are these treatment guidelines from the previous recommendations?
So the basis for approaching childhood overweight and obesity is always lifestyle changes. That's one of the reasons we're in this predicament right now, because we have changed what children eat and how much activity they have. Now we say if lifestyle modification doesn't work well enough, we increase the treatment to pharmacology and for surgery. And that is a recent shift because we've received enough information now knowing that these modalities work well. And the medications have been investigated, but only recently, in the last few years, have been approved for use in children.
And you weren't part of the team of doctors who drafted these recommendations, but do you agree with the more aggressive approach here? And why? I mean, it sounds like you do, and that we've, to some extent, been doing this for a couple years now.
Yes, I wasn't part of these guidelines. I was part of the Endocrine Society guidelines from 2017. At that time, we discussed the use of bariatric surgery or surgery for the treatment of obesity and the use of pharmacotherapy, but we didn't have enough information to go as far as these guidelines. So yes, I absolutely agree with them because we know that lifestyle modification doesn't always have its intended effects and we have to go further. When a child has type 2 diabetes, hyperlipidemia, or elevated cholesterol levels, or liver damage due to fat deposition to the liver, we have to think of the best way to take care of these problems, and to eliminate some of the weight that caused these problems is one of the approaches. So surgery and pharmacology can help in this matter if the lifestyle changes have not taken their effects.
And what are the long-term risks of those conditions you mentioned?
Oh, type 2 diabetes is a very common condition now in adults, as you probably know, across the world. There are millions and millions of people in every country. In the past, we never thought that would affect children, but probably 30 years ago, perhaps, or a little bit longer, the first teenagers were being reported with type 2 diabetes in childhood when we thought it didn't affect anyone under perhaps 25 years of age. This has devastating effects in childhood, and we have a progression in childhood from oral medications, which is often how we start treatment, to injected insulin. Hyperlipidemia or high cholesterol levels is well known to affect heart disease, and we're worried about the future of children with elevated lipid levels.
The weight loss drugs you mentioned, the FDA recently approved some of them for adults. And like we've been talking about, the American Academy of Pediatrics is now recommending them for kids 12 and older, coupled with, you know, behavioral therapy. But what do we know about how effective they are for kids and whether they're safe for long-term use?
Luckily, at this point, we have some very good studies, controlled studies across the world, with some of these medications, and that's why the FDA has approved them recently. And the side effects are generally not too severe, and that's why the FDA was allowed to approve it. In adults, when you stop taking the medication, very frequently weight loss recurs. And these studies in children also suggest that a short period of time after stopping the medication, you can see an increase in weight once again.
So these have to be taken for a lifetime. I mean, realistically, yes, that's what we're talking about. This is a lifetime commitment. And our kids ready for that? Are families ready for that?
Well, families who understand the serious nature of their children's comorbidities or conditions that accompany the obesity, I hope will understand that treatment will be necessary in the long term to keep those conditions or comorbidities off of the child's diagnostic list. So I think if they see the effects of the medication or the effects of the bariatric surgery, they will support that.
Well, Well, and so how do we talk about this with families? Because kids aren't in control of their diets in a lot of ways. They're not the ones going grocery shopping. They're kind of subject to whatever they're receiving for school lunch. They do not have control in a lot of ways over all of the types of foods that they're consuming. That really comes down to the parents. So how do these recommendations account for the shifts families are going to have to make to support their child if this is the treatment that is recommended for them?
This is family-directed treatment. The whole family must be involved. The family can't say, oh, one of the children is a bit heavier and the others are not. We can't deprive the other children of the diet. We've changed the heavier child to follow. Well, in fact, all of them can benefit from a healthy diet. So you have to include the whole family in the activity.
And I think, you know, any family wants to support their kid, right? But are these expectations... realistic might be a harsh word, but, you know, in this country, there is a direct correlation between your weight and your socioeconomic status. I mean, even for kids, the CDC says that kids who grow up in low and middle income families are roughly twice as likely to be overweight as kids who grow up in high income families. So these recommendations might be out of reach for the families who probably need them most. I mean, this is a bigger conversation about policy and health insurance and all of that, but like, how are we accounting for that fact?
Increased weight in children leading to obesity and overweight is one of the greatest health inequities in the country. Unequivocally, the least educated families, the least earning families are affected more. So it's a very serious problem that we must address for health equity across the country. Are they ready for this? Well, if explained appropriately and kindly and supportively, we hope that many families will be accepting of this. But sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while for them to accept the advice of a change in diet or a change in activity levels. There are some cultures that favor heavier weights, and that's not a problem by itself. But if it brings along comorbidities or complications of being overweight, that becomes a health problem.
And you kind of touched on this a little bit just now, but I guess I wanted to get at like how fragile this can be for teens especially, and how you might recommend doctors approach young children. Because even outside of this conversation about childhood obesity rates, I mean, we've been hearing about how damaging Instagram and TikTok can be, especially
oh, yes.
for young girls who are getting fed just, you know, reams of content about diet culture, how that can create certain stigma. And I guess, how do doctors need to think about that when they're approaching kids? Because, you know, I can see a situation where somebody is getting maybe bullied at school. They're getting fed all of this stuff on social media about how they need to look a certain way. And then, you know, their doctor and their parents are then coming and telling them that they need to look a different way. And that can be just devastating for kids. So how do you recommend that doctors and parents talk to their kids about this kind of stuff without, you know, adding to the emotional burden that it might cause?
Doctors are like other people. We have our biases. And if we cannot overcome those biases and not be weight-based biased, we should be treating children in terms of their weight. I never use the word obesity or overweight to any family. I talk about the daily habits that we might modify to improve health. If you can't be kindly in approaching the family, you shouldn't be treating this condition. So very careful discussion has not been shown to increase eating disorders or depression or other complications you might worry about, as you mentioned. Certainly, we have to be aware of these possibilities. Many children who are overweight or obese do have depression. We have to be very careful to approach that.
Well, Dr. Dennis Stein, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
That's Dr. Dennis Stein. He's the Yochidei Chair of Pediatric Endocrinology and Professor of Pediatrics at UC Davis. Coming up, the battle of Super Bowl foods continues. Yesterday we talked about Philly cheesesteaks. Today, barbecue with a Kansas City barbecue judge.
But what they do is they run you through the process. So they say these are the categories: beef brisket, pork shoulder, pork spare ribs, chicken. And then you judge on a 9-point scale for three things: taste, texture, and appearance.
The history of American barbecue. That's next on Press Play.